Hey, I want to tell you about something new from Renewed Mindsets. If you'll look in the app that you're listening to the show on, if you'll look in the show notes right at the top, you'll see a blue link that says text the show. If you click on that, it'll automatically link my show to your text messaging on your telephone. You can send me a text anytime you want. You can let me know what's going on in your life, prayer requests. You can ask me a question. You can tell me I'm stupid. It's awesome. And please don't tell me I'm stupid. I love you. See ya. Coming up on Renewed Mindsets. Today we're diving deep into some fascinating stuff. Biblical signs of the end of times. Yup. We're talking about all those wild prophecies and what they might mean for us today. From wars and crazy natural disasters to some seriously strange stuff happening up in the sky. It's all on the table. So grab your coffee, get cozy, and let's explore these ancient predictions together. And who knows, we might just uncover some mind-blowing insights along the way. Let's go, boys. Hey, welcome to Renewed Mindsets, where we study the basics of the faith through the lens of our middle-aged experiences. I'm Rick. Welcome to the show where I help you Gen Xers and millennials navigate spiritually through a world that looks nothing like we expected back when cars were square and mullets were totally awesome. I am so glad you're here. So who's ready to be blessed today? Let me show you how we can know that the time of Jesus' return is very near. Now, the first thing, I know you've heard it. If you're in church, you've heard about birth pains. Just like when you or your wife was about to have a baby, right before the big thing happened, there was birth pains, right? Well, this might come as a shock to y'all, but I've never personally had a baby. Even though the pregnant man emoji now exists, the reality is men can't have babies. I just wanted to make sure you knew that. But I have witnessed a wife or two have a baby, and I've got a baby that's going to have a baby here in a few weeks. Now, you might wonder where I'm going with all this. Well, Jesus relates the sign of the end of times to birth pains. Mark 13:8, New Living Translation. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. So now that we know there's going to be birth pains, things are going to start happening. First thing I want to talk about are spiritual visions. Now, not too long ago, the Holy Spirit led me to read 1 Thessalonians. The book ends by reassuring the church that Jesus is coming. It even explains what's going to happen when he comes. And after I was done reading, the Spirit of God filled the room. I became overwhelmed with an inexpressible peace and joy. And as I sat there, I kept sensing the Spirit of God saying, soon, soon, Rick, soon. Now, like I said earlier, I'm not one who thinks about the end times. So this was a very unusual experience for me. I've had a few encounters like this with the Lord, but this was the first one regarding his coming. I can't even put into words the experience that I had that morning, but it took me by complete surprise, and I left that time with God with complete confidence that I'm going to see the coming of Jesus Christ in my lifetime. Now, with these signs, there's other signs. Fast travel and increased knowledge. The Old Testament prophet, Daniel, he prophesied greatly about the end times. He even let us in what it's going to be like in the last days. That's from Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the time of the end, when many will rush here and there and knowledge will increase. So back in the 1600s, there was a great scientist, Sir Isaac Newton, and he read this scripture. And he wrote down what he thought about it, and it said, personally, I cannot help but believe that these words refer to the end of times. But there may be some inventions which enable people to travel much more quickly than they do right now. Now, he later speculated that these inventions might surpass 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
Now, 80 years later, which would be 1680, let's just say 1680, there was a French atheist that read Sir Isaac Newton's words, and he stated, "See what a fool Christianity makes an otherwise brilliant man. He's forgotten that if a man were to travel at 50 miles an hour, he would be suffocated. His heart would stand still." Yeah. What an idiot. Oh, wait. Turns out the Bible enabled Sir Isaac Newton to accurately predict the future, while the atheist was left in the dark. Now we know who the real idiot is. So Daniel reveals to us that the end times are marked by fast travel and increased knowledge. So from the time at the Garden of Eden to the early 1900s, people either walked around or they rode on horses to get where they were going. Then in a span of less than 100 years, mankind invented the automobile, the jet plane, and the space shuttle. Now, that's talking about rushing here and there. My grandparents grew up without electricity. That means that there was no technology. But it only took a few decades, and everybody had radios and TVs and many of the modern conveniences that we still use today. When I graduated high school, the iPhone didn't exist. The smartphone of my day was attached to the wall in the kitchen. And in just a few decades, we've made major medical advances. Tiny babies weighing less than a pound can survive outside the womb. And there's unborn babies that can undergo surgery while they're still in the womb. And we can clone sheep. We can clone mice and cattle. We can even have the technology to clone humans, if they aren't doing it already. But I'm sure it's coming. Talk about increased knowledge. The world has never experienced what we have experienced in just a few generations. It's a sure sign that we're at the end of the times. Now, the sad thing is all this drastically increased knowledge has made us dumb. It's been to our detriment. That is another sign of the end of times. The knowledge of man. Society now worships human knowledge over the wisdom of God. Man, that's a bad sentence to have to speak. Society now worships human knowledge over the wisdom of God. There's highly educated people out there in the world right now coaching the world on the rebirth of morality. It's no longer wrong to embrace a lifestyle of homosexuality. It's wrong if you speak against it. It's no longer wrong to slaughter a baby in the womb. It's wrong if you speak against it. We've become so smart that we finally realized all this time that gender is subjective. You just can't look in your pants to find out who you are. You got to wait and see how you feel. Aren't you grateful that human knowledge has led us to redefine morality? The results speak for themselves. Right now, around 70% of Americans believe that sex outside of marriage is acceptable. Around 40% of kids have no father in the house. And since abortion was legalized in 1973, there's been 63 million unborn babies killed right here in the United States. That is the equivalent to wiping out 20% of the U.S. population right now. Now, as long as we're talking about that, let's talk about abortion. Because right now, everybody's talking about abortion. I read a Facebook post from a church leader online that blew my mind. She said, "We don't know when life begins. It's a great mystery. If we look at the book of Genesis, Adam's life didn't begin until God breathed into him. So maybe life doesn't begin until our first breath." Unbelievable. A church leader that talks like this. Yet if you pay attention to Scripture, you know that God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Now, I've preached on this issue of abortion before, and it all boils down to this. Listen and hear me. If you side with abortion, you side with Satan. Don't trust a Christian who sides with abortion. People don't appreciate it when I say that, but it's the truth. This issue of abortion is one of the easiest ways to determine if someone is part of the woke church or part of Jesus' church. You know them by their fruit. And as long as I'm there, let's talk about the woke church. The woke church, or a harlot. I recently found out that it's described in Revelation 17 as the great prostitute, the church. Let's take a look at how it's described. Revelation 17:2. This is from the NLT. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. Now, as you can see, the woke church consists of churches who side with the sin over God's word. They wrap it up in a beautiful package, and they call it social justice. And people are drunk in the immorality. Now, here recently, I read about a church that's hosting a drag queen show. I'm sure you've seen it online. If you're on Facebook, you've seen the videos. And I already told you about the church leader who's promoting abortion. Now, these are just two of many horrifying stories about those who call themselves Christians, but are nothing more than a whore. The woke church will thrive during the first half of the tribulation as the Antichrist shares his power with this harlot. But he won't share his power for long. The prostitute, called the woke church, will be destroyed by the Antichrist midway through the tribulation when the Antichrist doesn't need her anymore. The woke church is nothing but Satan's prostitute to be used and discarded. So one of the ways you can be sure we're living in the end of times is because we live in the generation of fast travel and increased knowledge, just like the prophet Daniel said. Now, one of the signs that I'm not going to get into today is what's been going on with the moon and the stars over the past few decades. You know, in 2017, the stars aligned exactly as described in Revelation 12. And if you're into astrology, you'll enjoy researching that one. And we've also had four blood moons over the past 70 years, and all of them aligned with something significant that happened in Israel. Now, that's what I want to get into next. The super sign of the end times, Israel. Now, what's going on with Israel is considered the super sign of the end times. Now, let's take a look at what Jesus said. Matthew 24, 32 through 34, NLT. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all of these things take place. When Jesus references the fig tree, he's talking about Israel. So what Jesus is saying is that a single generation will see all of the end time prophecies about Israel fulfilled. And here's the thing, many of these prophecies have already been fulfilled in our generation. This means that we are the generation Jesus was talking about in Scripture. That's awesome. I'm going to take you through the prophecies that have already been fulfilled. So this is going to encourage you. First, Israel's regathered a second time. So, an entire generation of Israel lived captive to Babylon, and that was as a result of their idolatry and rejection of God. But after 70 years, God did what he promised and brought them back to their land. Now, this happened more than 500 years before Christ. Then, just like Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, the temple was destroyed and the people of Israel dispersed a second time around 70 AD. This was around 40 years after Jesus prophesied that it would happen. And for almost 2,000 years, the people of Israel were scattered all around the world. Now, I'm sure there were many over that long period of time that called Isaiah a false prophet because here's what he said in Isaiah 11, 11 through 12. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people, those who remain in Assyria and northern Egypt. in southern Egypt, Ethiopia, and Elam, and Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. God fulfilled this promise in 1948 when Israel once again became a nation after being scattered for almost 2,000 years. This leads me right into the next prophecy about Israel that's already been fulfilled. Israel is born in one day. Let's see what Isaiah says about that. In Isaiah 66:8, who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who ever heard of such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, her children will be born. On May 14, 1948, Great Britain released its control over the land of Israel. And on that same day, the head of the Jewish Agency announced the establishment of the State of Israel. The U.S. president at that time, Harry Truman, was quick to recognize the new nation on the very same day. Now, other nations were slow to follow Truman's lead, but on 14 May 1948, that's the day that's recognized as the official birth date of the State of Israel. A nation born in a day. This leads right into the next prophecy that's already been fulfilled. Israel is regathered from the north. Now that Israel's been born in a day, where are all these people going to come from? Of course, we already know that they were scattered across the entire world and would come back from all over. But the largest migration came from Russia. Between 1989 and 2002, more than 1 million Russian Jews migrated to Israel. And when the Russian president opened up the borders and allowed the Jews to leave, it fulfilled Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah 16:14-15. But the time is coming, says the Lord, when the people who are taking an oath will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives, who rescued the people of Israel from the land of Egypt. Instead, they will say, as surely as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel back to their own land from the land of the north and from all of the countries to which had exiled them. For I will bring them back to this land that I gave to their ancestors. Yet another prophecy about Israel has already been fulfilled. Now, don't miss this. I'm showing you right now how you can know that we're living in the last generation. There's more. Jerusalem is retaken by the Jews. Jesus prophesied about the desolation of Jerusalem. Now, this was fulfilled in 70 AD. But he also prophesied that Jerusalem would be recaptured by the Jews. In Luke 21, verse 24, Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. Now, this means that Jerusalem would remain outside of Israel's control until the end of times. Now, I already explained that Israel became a nation in 1948. Then, in 1967, Israel engaged in the Arab-Israeli Six-Day War and regained control of Jerusalem. And it remains in their hands today. So let me ask you a question. How long is a generation? Jesus said that the same generation that sees the prophecies fulfilled about Israel will see the end times. We are that generation. So you might be sitting there going, how long is a generation? The book of Psalms gives us the clearest explanation. Psalm 91:10. Lord, through all the generations you have been our home, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. According to this scripture, a generation is between 70 and 80 years. The first prophecy fulfilled about Israel was when it became a nation in 1948. So I'm going to give you a moment to do the math.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, I just want to tell you about an incredible podcast that has truly impacted my life. It's Christ Alone Podcast.
It's not your average show. It goes above and beyond to combat false doctrines that twist the true message of God and the amazing character of Christ. It's hosted by two friends of mine, Stevens and Angie, and each week they equip you and empower you and encourage you for a world that seems to be moving further away from God every single day. You can find their episodes and all their resources at ChristAlonePodcast.com. And they're available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, so it's real convenient to hear them wherever you are. Join me and countless others that join in every week to listen to Christ Alone Podcast. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Dive deep into truth and let the transformative power of Christ lead you towards a brighter future with Christ Alone Podcast.
Okay. May 14th, Israel will celebrate its 76th anniversary as a nation. So this podcast is going to be dropped on Wednesday, May 15th. So that was yesterday. Yesterday, May 14th, 2024, Israel celebrated its 76th anniversary as a nation. Knowing God's desire for all men to repent and turn to Him, I imagine that our good and gracious God is going to give us that extra 10 years that's mentioned in Psalms. But we're already 6 years in. Are you doing the math? 2018 was 70 years. 2024 is 76 years. 4 more years. We're talking about 2028. He's coming soon. Jesus is coming very soon. So a couple of months ago at church one Sunday morning, spiritual gifts were moving and the people were experiencing deliverance at the end of the message. It was a great service. And when it was over, it hit me. We, all who are born again, will be raptured away at some point. Now, some people believe that the rapture is before the tribulation. Other people believe it's in the middle. And others believe it's at the end. Now, regardless of what you believe about the timing of Jesus coming, you need to know that Jesus is coming back for His church. And the important thing is, He's coming back. And He told us we better be ready when He gets here. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the generation. And as I just explained to you just a minute ago, we are that generation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we are at the end of that generation. And as the birth pains increase in frequency and intensity, we know that the end is near. So I need to ask you, are you ready for Jesus to come back? Because if Jesus came back tonight, would you be ready? Getting ready is very simple. The Bible makes it very clear that the only way to salvation is believing in Jesus Christ. You can't earn it with your good works. You can only receive it by believing. And you may be wondering, how do I know if I believe in Jesus? It's simple. When you believe in Jesus, you follow Jesus. Following Jesus becomes the focus of your life. Following Jesus means doing what He says, following His lead. But don't misunderstand me. What you can't do is you can't save yourself. There's a lot of people who say that they're a Christian because they're part of a church, or because they said a prayer one Sunday morning in 1983, or because they care about social justice. None of those things makes you a Christian. None of those things saves you from an eternity in hell. The only thing that saves you is believing that Jesus Christ died in your place, and that God raised Him from the dead and gave you eternal life. Now listen to me. There's a lot of people who think they're saved, but they're not. I know it sounds really odd for me to say this, but Jesus is actually the one who said it. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Works alone cannot save you. God's mercy saves you. Now, we can say we believe in Jesus all day long, but what really tells the tale is how we live our lives. If you truly believe Jesus is who he says he is, you'll follow him by following his word. Now, I'm not saying that you'll get it perfect. None of us do. But what I'm saying is that when you believe in Jesus and something is revealed in your life that is contrary to the way Jesus has told you how to live, you abandon your way and you embrace the way of Jesus. And this is an ongoing journey. For me, it all started by giving up my life of anger and resentment. And then I found out I was being really mean to people, and I had to give up my bad attitude and my anger and my resentment and my unforgiveness. It goes on and on and on. It's constant. Living a life of repentance. When something is revealed in my life that is contrary to the way of Jesus, I make an adjustment. And it happens all the time. Why? Because I believe in Jesus. I believe he gave me new life. I believe his power resides inside me and enables me to live life the way he wants me to. He doesn't expect me to do it on my own. I believe that he loves me. So when he asks me to do something that I don't particularly like at the time, I do it anyway because he always has my best interests at heart. Believing in Jesus means that you are constantly working towards becoming holy, like Jesus. Once saved, always saved? Man, there's going to be a lot of people who believe that in hell. You know why? Because believing in Jesus didn't change their life. It doesn't mean that people who believe once saved, always saved are going to hell. It means that most of the people that believe in once saved, always saved said a prayer when they were 15 years old and then went on living their life just like they always did, unchanged, except they say they're a Christian. But what fruit is there? What evidence is there in their life that they're changed? There's not. You can't say that you're a Christian and then go on sinning and say, well, I'm forgiven for my sins. That's not the way it works. Yes, the Bible says no one can pluck you from his hand. But it does also doesn't say you can't jump out of that hand. I believe in Jesus, so I follow Jesus. And I want to ask you, do you believe in Jesus? Because now's the time. He's coming back for his church very soon. And trust me, you want to go with us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So we're going to do that together. If you truly believe God raised Jesus from the dead, listen to me. Repeat this and mean it. Jesus is Lord of my life. It's that simple. You're on a path. If you said that, you're on a path. Now contact a trusted church leader and tell them what you just did. Or contact me, Rick at Renewed Mindsets. I'll walk with you through this. Don't let anyone talk you out of it, not even yourself. Anytime you have doubts about your salvation, turn to Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But you must be born again. Hear this last part. You must be born again. You must receive the Holy Spirit. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I declare Jesus is Lord. I am saved. I am born again. No one can take that away from me. No one can take it from you. Time is short, people. Time is now.
Well, that's all for this week's show. You know, the name of this show speaks my hope for you. It's taken from the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you enjoyed what you heard, do me a favor, please, and tell someone you know about it. Send them a link in a text. You know, you may even need to download it to their phone and show them what a podcast is. If it was valuable to you, it will be to them. Visit renewedmindsets.com to hear past episodes, read the blog, and check out the new merch. And as always, while you're there, send me a voicemail by clicking the button at the bottom right corner of the main page. Tell me what you think about this show. I just might play it on a future episode. Until next week, I'm Rick. I love you. See ya.
The intro and outro music for the Renewed Mindsets podcast is Are You Ready? By Floodgate. From the album, Are You Ready? Copyright 2002, Offbeat Ministries Incorporated. Floodgate can be found on Apple Music and iTunes. Music used with permission.
The executive producer of Renewed Mindsets is Yelena McClellan. We have two openings for other producers. Visit us at buymeacoffee.com/renewedmindsets for more information.